NFL-wise, Brad, and this is where it gets really interesting to me. We're into the month of December in the NFL. I know we're through, 12 weeks, and now with the new 17-game regular season, 18-week, 17-game regular season, and then where you have the seven playoff teams in each conference, and so the top seed gets the bye. The other three division winners get the number 2 through 4 seeds, and then the 5, 6, and 7 go to the other, the 2, 3, 4 for the first round. So, in December it gets interesting, Brad. And what we have, like in the AFC right now, I mean, you got, five teams sitting there with 4 losses and the Ravens with 3. And then NFC-wise, you got the 49ers in Washington right now. If the season ended today, as they say, 49ers in Washington would win the tiebreaker, especially Washington would get the tiebreaker for that 7th spot over the Vikings, Falcons, Saints. I mean, a bunch of 5 and 6 teams. And so they're all bunched up there together.
It's pretty remarkable that you got a couple of teams that aren't even really that good that are on the verge of being playoff teams. Yep. And I think part of it is because you got some teams that are really, really bad in the NFL. What's the biggest surprise to me? I mean, I don't know what you guys think. I don't know how you could think anything was more surprising than where the New England Patriots are right now. I mean, Brady got his revenge last year, and now it turns around and Belichick wants to prove his point that, hey, maybe I am still a great coach without Tom Brady. I mean, it's shocking to me that out of all of the disarray that they seem to have in New England last year, that this year they're playing like they are. It's crazy.
Matt and I, of course, we're just talking about the Patriots this morning. Matt and I happen to have a bet on the Patriots this year. I'm sorry to bring it up, Matt.
Yeah, Brad, I almost sent Craig a pizza 6 weeks early because we set the under at 9.5, and I think they're 8-4 now. So all they have to do is beat Jacksonville and Miami, and they're going to go over that, and they still have 3 other games. Jones has played better than what I thought he would. You know, I thought Mac Jones could be a good player. I just thought a rookie quarterback. And but, you know, this is a Patriots defense, and Craig and I talked a lot about it, about how they had, you know, 5 guys opt out due to COVID last year. So, you know, they were getting some of those guys back. And, no, Belichick's doing a really good job. You can't say anything otherwise.
Well, it's interesting, too, that Mac Jones, out of all those guys that came out of Alabama, would not have been the guy that I would have said is going to be the one to go sort of, I don't know if he's setting the NFL on fire, but the guy's playing way out of his league at the professional level. I don't think anybody would have picked him. If you could have that list of Alabama quarterbacks, I don't know that he's the guy that you would single out and say, this is the dude I want on my team.
He's not, because his arm, the ball doesn't just jump off of his, out of his hand. I mean, the arm strength is not that great.
But listen, maybe it has to do with Alabama being a system program. He goes to New England, which is a system program.
Yep.
So maybe that's an easier transition than what some of these other guys have had to do.
No, I totally agree. But, I mean, it's just mentally the guy is so strong, and he's a hard worker. He studies the film. I mean, he beats you with his brain as much as with his arm is what I'm trying to say. So, no, I mean, that's been impressive. And you look at it, Brad, New England's 8-4 in 3 of their losses, and I don't have their schedule right in front of me, but I know they're by like 2-1 and overtime. I mean, they easily could have 10 or 11 wins right now. I know they haven't lost a road game all year long. That's another thing that's impressive. They're 5-0 away from home. I think only 3-4 at home, because some of those close losses came at home. No, they are definitely a story, and they definitely could be a number one seed. I know USA Today did the power rankings this week, and they have them number 4 right behind the Packers, the Bucks, and the Cardinals. And by the way, J.C. Jackson leads the AFC in interceptions with 7. He also is on top of the NFL with 16 pass breakups. He forced a fumble on Sunday. So you got to remember J.C. Jackson as a possible defensive player of the year for the Patriots. But anyway, Patriots are a big story. What about the Tampa Bay Bucks? I mean, that was a big win at Indy, Brad. But you look at Brady, and I saw a deal this morning that on ESPN that they put the handicapping of the current MVP candidates, odds to win MVP. Tom Brady's at plus 275. Tied for 2nd were Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers at plus 550. Mahomes was plus 800. Kyler Murray and Dak were plus 1,200 and Lamar Jackson plus 14.
So it's funny that you bring that up, because I was going to ask you guys who you have as your MVP right now, because as much as it pains me to say it, and the one thing about Aaron Rodgers is there's plenty for everybody to hate about Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
But the fact of the matter is, I mean, you can hate the way he came into the preseason. You can hate the way that he acted in the offseason. You can hate the way that he basically, without actually saying it, said, I'd rather be hosting Jeopardy than playing football. But then you look at what he's done on the field with that team, and we've actually seen this in practice this season. You take that guy off of that team, and they are not the same team.
You didn't even bring up the worst thing he's done, which is show his foot on camera during that press conference. I could have done without that. No, hey, for me, it's Rodgers.
I don't know how it's funny to me that, and I realize Tom Brady is just the specimen that he is, and as remarkable as it is that he can continue to play at the level that he does at his age, is always going to be amazing. But I don't see how anybody could be ahead of Aaron Rodgers right now.
I don't like the guy.
Like I said, it pains me to say that, but I think he's playing the best ball in the NFL right now.
He's doing it with a broken toe and without some Pro Bowl and All-Pro linemen, guys. I mean, he's playing at an incredible level. You know, early in the year, I would have said Kyler Murray, but, you know, he's missed so much time.
Right.
I can't go with Kyler right now because of how much time he's missed.
I will say this. I mean, Brady is still leading the league with the 30 touchdown passes. But the thing about Brady is, and I'm a huge Tom Brady fan, Brad, but he's had 6 interceptions in his last 4 games. That's why I was a little surprised to see him at the top of the list in Vegas. And Matt knows this. I'm not a huge fan of Aaron Rodgers at all. But I just got to do it based on how his team is doing. Now,
their defense is really good. I mean, it's not just all Rodgers, because his defense is playing great.
No.
But I think, Brad, I'm with you. I think it's 12 right now. I think it's Aaron Rodgers.
But the 23-4, the touchdown, the interception, 23-4 does jump out at you, and how the team is doing. Now, again, the jury is still out for me on whether these guys can do it and whether Rodgers, frankly, can do it. I mean, he's got a losing playoff record since he won his only Super Bowl. So we'll see down the stretch. But if we're talking MVP, I'm with you guys.
Let me tell you something.
Because no one else jumps out, right, guys?
No, I totally agree with that. That's my point, is that I get that Brady is going to be considered just because he's Tom Brady, and I don't disagree with that, and he's not having a bad year. But I just think Aaron Rodgers is having a year that nobody else is having. And you look at the way that he's done it, I just don't know how you could pick anybody else. Again, you saw the team without him, and the defense is good, but the defense didn't win that game that he missed because of missing COVID. That's another thing I didn't add to my list of what you can hate him about, is the irresponsible behavior with the COVID thing. I mean, there's any number of things that you can dislike the guy for, but the fact of the matter is he's playing great football.
Where are you on Kansas City? I mean, they got off to the rough start. Now they've won 4 in a row. Right now they just lead by one game, AFC West, but they're going for their 6th straight division title. Where are you on the Chiefs right now, Brad?
Well, they're obviously playing better, and I think they're better than they were earlier in the year. But the thing that I see about the Chiefs, and this is neither here nor there when it comes to making the playoffs, but I think in terms of them getting to the Super Bowl, getting through the playoffs, I don't think teams are scared of them the way that they used to be. I think they got Mike Tyson this year. I think teams saw that they could be effective against them. And I still think that there's been something wrong with Mahomes. I thought it was interesting that the Mannings pointed that thing out earlier in the season that they saw that apparently nobody else saw until they brought it up, and then everybody started writing articles about it. But I don't think he's been at 100%, but I do think that has been the effect of that has been that other teams have looked at them and said, well, you know what, we can play with these guys, and so teams have performed better against them than they used to. I think they can make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to get to the Super Bowl this year, though. I don't see them going that far into the playoffs.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Okay, who would you guys have as, give me a top 4 or 5 NFL-wise if you were doing your power rankings today. on the NFL through Week 12. I know we got, I mean, first day of December, but who do you have, Brad?
Well, I mean, I got to go with Green Bay. And in the NFC, I still would like to, and I think this is a little bit more emotional, I still would like to say that I think L.A. is going to do well. But Troy Aikman, I read a piece with him where he said he's never seen the super team concept work in the NFL. I think it's funny that Troy Aikman was the guy that said that, right, with the super team that
we'll
the
say their
Dallas
team is
Cowboys
pretty super.
Were. Yeah. But he said he's never seen, I think what he meant was he's never seen a team created, constructed through free agency and trades that has become what we consider now a super team be successful in the NFL. I still think that the talent is there, that the Rams ought to be good, ought to be better than they're doing. I don't know who I would give my second spot to in the NFC. I guess I'm going to go with the Rams just because I feel like that they do have the talent and they do have the ability to do it. In the AFC.
And not Arizona because of the injury to Murray?
I got to see what's going on with Kyler Murray before I can feel that confident with them. He's got to come back and play at the level that he was playing at the beginning of the season before I can feel that confident with them. In the AFC, I mean, listen, I don't know where it came from, but I got to consider New England based on the way that they've been playing. I would put New England in a hot spot right now, and I guess I'm still going to go with Buffalo. Until Buffalo is beaten down more than they currently are, I guess I'm going to go with Buffalo.
Huge Monday night game. New England's at Buffalo this week.
Yeah.
Wow. Matt, who do you got, like, top two in each conference?
Probably I would go Green Bay 1 in the NFC. What I've said the majority of the year is I would have Arizona up there, but if they get into the playoffs, it's going to be hard for me not to pick Tampa Bay. It's going to be real hard for me not to pick Tampa to get through the playoffs. I guess based on that, I'd have to go Green Bay, Tampa. I would still throw Arizona in there. If Murray can get back and healthy, they'll be a tough out. I guess right now I'd go Green Bay, Tampa Bay, especially with the Murray injury. AFC, I don't know that anybody right now is playing better than New England and Kansas City. Still think you got to have Baltimore in the discussion. Tennessee lost last week to New England, and the week before, I don't know what they did against Houston. That was crazy. So I've got to drop Tennessee down a little bit. I'd say right now, the two teams, I don't know if I'd want to deal with Kansas City or New England right now. They would probably be at the top of the AFC for me.
You're being more scientific. I was being more emotional. I probably should have been more by the numbers.
Well, so I'm right now Green Bay, Tampa Bay. I'm kind of with Brad. I can't leave Tampa Bay out of my top two. It does concern me though. On the road, they're giving up over 28 points a game, so they got to play better defense on the road. I think they will at crunch time. AFC to me is just wide open. I would have to put New England up at the top right now. Baltimore has the best record with only the three losses. But I don't know. They throw in some head shakers at times. And Lamar Jackson, I mean, he just threw in a head shaker last week. So I don't know. I guess I would put Baltimore in there right now at number two just because they have the three losses. But that's just, I mean.
Again, I'm coming from an emotional perspective. Yeah. I just don't buy that Baltimore can put it together on a continual basis to get to where they need to go. Russell Wilson's run in Seattle is going to be near its end, if not already at its end, and he basically has control over who he wants to be traded to unless he's willing to waive that no trade clause. And I'm just curious what you guys think, because there's some teams that are desperately in need of a quarterback. I've read a couple of pieces that say, hey, his time has come and gone, that he's no longer going to be able to be the quarterback that he was at the beginning of his career. But if you were running any of those teams that are out there looking for a quarterback to get them down the road after this season, which team would you think, if you were running, would you be most likely to expend a lot to try and get Russell Wilson in?
Landing spot for Russell Wilson.
You know, when I look at, and I'm looking at the overall NFL standings, okay, so putting them all together, you know, from Arizona with the best record on down, a lot of these teams either have their quarterback or have just drafted their quarterback. Arizona, Murray. Packers, yeah, they just drafted one, and of course they've got Rodgers. Ravens with Jackson. Brady's going to play for the next 50 years, so who knows in Tampa. New England, it just drafted theirs. Titans, Tannehill. Cowboys, Prescott. Chiefs, Mahomes, obviously. Bengals just drafted Burrow. Rams with Stafford. Bills with Allen. I would start to say, Brad, the Niners, but they just drafted Trey Lance.
Well, there's actually some talk that the Niners could and probably will look at trading Jimmy Garoppolo in the offseason.
I could see them.
I don't
doing
think they're going to be in the hunt for him.
The Chargers with Herbert.
God, Herbert's good.
The next team, I think, should do what they can to get him. That's the Denver Broncos. Broncos desperately need a quarterback. And Bridgewater's okay. Trust me. I sliced and diced Dallas the other day. But if Denver can get Russell Wilson, they should do it.
That makes sense. That makes sense, Matt. I agree. And only two teams have allowed fewer points than the Denver Broncos, all right?
Yeah.
Only four have turned it over fewer times, and so they're winning with defense and taking care of the football and so forth. And they're, in the, like we said, in the AFC, it's just, I mean, it seems like the whole world is just bunched there together.
Some other teams, I think.
Let me tell you guys this before you continue. My computer is acting weird, so it took me a minute to get to where I was going. Let me tell you this before you make your picks. There are four teams that Wilson has publicly said he would accept a trade to.
Okay.
The Cowboys, the Saints, the Raiders, the Bears. So
well,
let's
those,
see if
the
that.
Saints.
Okay, the Saints.
The Saints make the most sense.
But they just invested a whole lot into Taysom Hill. Now Matt and I were. I know.
I would tell you this, from my opinion, I think Jimmy Garoppolo makes a lot more sense in New Orleans than Taysom Hill. I don't know that you really want Taysom Hill and Russell Wilson to be your quarterback platoon.
No. Hey, listen, I'm with you. I didn't understand all the big investment just on Taysom Hill to be really what I consider a backup to Jameis Winston. But obviously Winston's out, and then Simeon, they've lost all four of, you know, four starts, and so right now I would go ahead and give Taysom Hill a shot since they've lost four in a row with Simeon. But to me, I think he could really help the Saints. Denver, like Matt said, might make more sense, you know, for Russell Wilson.
I think Denver makes sense. It sure looks like to me that Roethlisberger's has reached the end. I would think Pittsburgh would make sense.
I'd love him there.
The problem with Pittsburgh is I think that would be too much of a style change for them. Do you want to have to reconfigure your entire system to come in and have Russell Wilson replace?
I think for Russell Wilson, might do it though.
Oh no, I think that. Well, and maybe they would.
I understand what you're saying.
There are a couple of teams out there. Then these aren't teams that are on his list for sure. Carolina. There's been some consideration that maybe Carolina would make a run for him. I don't know that he would want to go to Carolina, but they've got some weapons, and if he's got anything left in the tank, he could make them better. And the other team that's desperate for a quarterback that you didn't throw in there, Matty, is the Washington football team.
Yeah, I was going to say Washington, yeah. As far as teams that are either maybe not championship contenders, but playoff, you know, Denver and – I don't think Denver would be in right now. Washington would be the last seed in the NFC right now. As far as teams kind of in that middle of the pack, those are teams definitely. I think Washington, I think Denver, those two teams, and Pittsburgh, looking ahead to the future.
I think it's interesting that he has named those four teams that he named, and he didn't mention Denver. I think as a player, if you looked at Denver on paper, you would say, that's the place that I could go, and we could be good overnight. That would almost be a Peyton Manning-type situation where you could go in, and that team could all of a sudden, I don't know if they'd be a contender or not, but they would be significantly better than they currently are with a halfway decent quarterback. Now, the question is, does Russell Wilson have that left in the tank? I don't know if he does. He's like the anti-Brady at this point.
Yeah.
But maybe he does. I mean, I don't know how much is the issues with – I mean, Seattle's offensive line isn't terrible. I tell you one thing I was reading last night that a guy had gone through and compared year by year the draft picks that the Seattle Seahawks made versus positions that they needed. And the guy started the list with who they picked. I don't remember who the player was, who they picked six spots ahead of Creed Humphrey. And he was saying the difference that Creed Humphrey could have made on that team in that offensive line. And obviously it's a lot easier to look back on it and correct it than it is in the moment. But boy, he did make a compelling argument that they had made some really bad draft picks over the last 5 or 6 years.
That's what happens in that league, though. I mean, they were in a win-now situation, and it's hard to believe. They're sitting there at 3-8, and we're glad that the NFL has flexed them out of primetime so we don't have to watch them in primetime 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, they're that bad, the Seahawks. It's just hard to believe, sitting there at 3-8.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
me. Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.